Welcome into the Barncast Live Sunday night edition. It's Kyle Rush, Christian Rau, and Brad Lau. Let's go, baby.
Ooh.
I'm just excited to kind of keep it rolling. Before we even get started, we got a new member, Leak Guy. Welcome to the family. Guys, first scrimmage of the fall camp. And boy, I always love it because these typically nobody in the media is in attendance. So everybody's got sources. You know, Brad, I know you were not there for sure. Everybody's got sources, and it's fun to kind of collect all the information and then go look at whatever. Welcome in, Zach.
Hi.
And look at all the different notes. And what I find funny is that it's almost like depending on what mood the source was in, it changes the whole outlook of the of the scrimmage. So like there's a lot of people that left feeling pretty good about it. A lot of people left feeling iffy about it. And then some people say same old, like what are y'all's overall takes on just vibes? Let's just start with vibes from the scrimmage and what you've gathered after you talk to whoever. Just talk about overall vibes that you feel came out of the scrimmage.
So I talked to a few folks, and I do think the mood and the perspective is interesting. I talked to one person who, like, hadn't seen any of it. Like, first time seeing a lot of folks. I don't think they could go to many of the things in the spring. And so he was comparing it to last year. And he's like, yeah, this year's team whoops last year's team. And then you talk to, you know, other folks that have been, like, you know, closer to everything and is a little bit more measured. So I did think it was interesting that, you know, somebody who had kind of been away for a while and compared it to last year's squad, how much more positive they were.
I think that's pretty fair too. Brad, what about you?
Yeah, the thing that jumped out at me was the offense having some moments, like being put in adverse situations and having moments anyway. I saw some Dan Mullen comments today about their scrimmage that they had over the weekend. And I'm not here to run down specific players, but Dan Mullen's comment about UNLV scrimmage was, if you're looking for somebody to say positive things about quarterback play today, I'm not the right guy for that. Kind of a tough start maybe for Jackson in their scrimmage today. Meanwhile, according to reports from people who were there, Byron Brown had a long touchdown run on like one of the first series, if not the first series of the scrimmage. So, you know, against the ones or mostly ones, I think offense right out of the gate performing well puts things into perspective a little bit, and that's a good thing.
Little you give and take, it felt like.
Said for people who were there. Brad, weren't you at the scrimmage?
I was not at the scrimmage, no.
Oh. He was live. He has an alibi. Christian, what about you?
Put
what about
that to bed. Like my 9-year-old daughter is now in bed. Let's put that one to bed too.
Christian,
let me tell you this big analysis here on what everybody's taken through here. Come on, let me just put these on here. Sloppy. Okay. Just real sloppy. That's exactly what it was.
Is sloppy a vibe? I guess it can be a vibe.
Oh, it can totally be a vibe. For sure.
What was your biggest? All right, let's go positives and negatives. Let's start with positives because I like starting with positives. What's something that maybe you expect or you didn't expect that you saw that you're like, man, if that carries over, that's good stuff. Or just, you know, anything good that you took away from the scrimmage and you know, as specific as you can be. Go ahead, Zach.
Gavin Jenkins got an interception.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming. Even though the receiver did fall down, you still got to catch it.
Why do you think he fell down, Kyle?
That's just what I was told. So it doesn't matter. What's that?
Christian, why did the receiver fall down when Gavin Jenkins was guarding him?
Because his name is Gavin Jenkins. Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's the version 2 of the t-shirt. I'm just curious about 4 years from now, how many interceptions is he going to have in the 2 games he faces Drake May every year? That's what I'm curious about.
Because if he goes anywhere in the AFC East, not the Patriots, that might be it for me. I don't know.
Is that yours, Brad? Is that yours, Zach? Gavin Jenkins interception?
Yeah.
Okay. It's good enough. Christian?
I like what I heard about Diaz being all over the place. That's what I liked. I thought that we heard some really good things that he
moving played. Him around.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving him in different spots.
It's funny. Interesting. Zach, you think it's accurate? It feels like what you thought you would hear about DeMarcus Riddick, you're hearing about Bryce Diaz. Not that necessarily DeMarcus Riddick didn't perform well or whatever, but like as far as getting this guy on the field and moving him all over the place, it feels like we're hearing more of that out of Bryce Diaz than we are DeMarcus Riddick.
Brad, I think I said that during the live dive, right? Like Bryce Diaz is becoming what we thought DeMarcus Riddick would be.
Yeah, for sure. And that was the one that I was going to call out. I think it's worth talking about his versatility, his athleticism. Like, he's not as big as DeMarcus Riddick. Doesn't have the height or the weight as DeMarcus, but I mean, he gets to the ball. He's a ball hawk. Knows he's just a foot, you know. I know it's cliche, sorry, but just a football player. I do play with my food sometimes.
Somebody pay for that.
Yeah. Somebody pay for that. Thank you, Maddox.
Thank you, Maddox.
MQ. I do sometimes.
I don't know what happened to Zach.
That did it for him. That's what happened.
Yeah, he was out on that one.
So what I was going to say was mine was apparently Jeremiah Cobb, because they put this out on the video, but Cobb had a very long touchdown run. Byron Brown had a long touchdown run. There were reports of the third team offense having some success in scoring drives. This is an offense that is engineered to be efficient, effective, productive. You're going to score points. You're going to hit explosive plays with this offense. Because the third team did it against the third team defense isn't like nobody, fireworks aren't going off for that. But it does tell you that's just the scheme alone is going to like push this team further than it was able to go for the last 3 years based just on scheme. So I'm fired up about that.
No doubt about it. I think for me, it's kind of twofold. Number one, the scrimmage felt like there was a lot of give and take for both sides. It honestly felt like there's really bright spots that you could point to on both sides, which I think is exactly what you want to hear coming out of a scrimmage. You want to hear that the defense won battles, and then you want to hear that the offense ripped off a long touchdown run or threw a couple of touchdown passes. You want to hear that the defense, you know, created some turnovers, you know, especially when it's not the first team. If it's the second team, like, create some turnovers, you know, do what you got to do. That was exactly what I was hoping to hear. I actually said I wouldn't care if it came out that the offense just thrashed the defense, but I was okay with the give and take. And then the overall, so it's one thing to say you want to be something, and then it's another thing to see it in action. And when Golish talks about being physical on offense, how physical was that touchdown run from Jeremiah Cobb? How physical was the way that Keyshawn Singleton's catch and score later in the scrimmage? How physical was that when he catches it just beyond the line of scrimmage and then throws a guy off of him and goes on in to score? Like, that's the kind of stuff you want to hear. I guess see it in action, which I think warmed my little heart up a little bit, as far as it ain't just talking the talk, they're walking the walk too.
You mean they're being who they say they are?
Ah, that was right there on the tip of my tongue, Zach. I mean, Brad, sorry. Yeah, they put that on the wall and stuff. So you got to do it. If you're going to put it on the wall, you got to do it. Anything, Zach, you were out. You got yours in. You got yours in before. Yeah. You said Gavin Jenkins. Christian, did you tell yours?
Yeah, Diaz.
Diaz, that's right.
Reverend Barn Booster has a super chat in here just under Zach's eyes. Man, I said it this morning, I'll say it again. Golish chapter 6, Auburn leaves Athens 6-0. Rev Barn Booster boogin tonight.
If we're 6-0, I don't know if we lose. There's my boog of the day.
No, I mean, Christian, that's valid. Who are they? If they leave Athens 6-0, who are they losing to?
I think Georgia's the hardest game of the year. So, That's the only one I look at the schedule and I don't think that there's a not saying it's a chance, it's the wrong thing, but that's when I try to put it out and I say, okay, where are my green W's? Where are my red L's? You know, when I'm trying to put the scoring on there, I can't put myself in the win column for the Georgia game. I just can't. There's moments where I can for the Iron Bowl. It's a rivalry game. Sure, there's moments everywhere else. The Georgia one, I can't. So if you go 6-0, I don't know if you lose.
It'd be hard to argue with that. I'm trying to go like some other interesting notes. Kickoff returners, it looks like Pleasant is still your number one guy at kickoff return. And then everybody had been asking about punt return. Who's going to be your starting punt return? It looks like Spencer was first, Bryce Kane, and then Christian Neptune. Anybody got any thoughts on that rotation?
Deshaun Spencer's better than Ryan Williams. He'll have a huge impact for Auburn this year, whether it's punt return or just as a receiver.
Factually, the best receiver to ever come out of Sarah Lynn High School.
He was better than him in high school. Why won't he be better at the next level?
The numbers are the numbers. It is what it is.
Objective.
If Spencer beats out Neptune for the spot that I believe that they're both fighting for, the high target, in the high tempo offense is what Neptune had last year. I'd rather see the quote unquote loser of that battle be the punt returner, and the other one be more focused on the offensive side. That's I guess where I'm at, because I think both could do a really good job back there.
Interesting.
Punt returner, I think, impacts your play at receiver more than kick returner does at corner. So, like, there's talk of Rashawn Pleasant. Is he limited at corner because of what he does at kick returner? I'm not sure that I may need to talk through that one a little bit, because if you're returning a punt, that's the first offensive play, right? You can pick up an extra first down or two and give your team a short field, and now you're coming off the field and the offense is going on the field. For a kick returner who's a cornerback, the offense is coming on the field. That does – I'm not sure – does that make sense?
It could be your last defensive play.
Well, wait. So, wait, which one are you saying is more
– it's more taxing to be a punt returner and a starting wide receiver than it is to be a – or not even necessarily wide receiver. But, yeah, I guess so. That matters. Or versus
running
a
– back. Yeah.
Versus a starting offensive kickoff returner player and a defensive back.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure it's all. Yeah, I don't think it's all that. I don't know that it impacts your snaps as a defensive player if you are a kick returner, because the offense is jumping on the field after you return your kick.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense. You're going from returning the punt to in the play versus returning the kickoff to going to getting some Gatorade.
Right. Yeah, and getting in the defensive huddle, getting ready to go out if you need to go on defense.
Yeah, that's why I'm not crazy about Cobb returning kickoffs. If he's the, you know,
he's the second guy behind Pleasant
and Mabson. So Pleasant, Cobb, and Mabson. I'm not crazy about that, but whatever. It's good to see Stanton Ramil was healthy at right tackle. Mm-hmm. I know we were kind of concerned about that. They were rotating Jacob Strand and Derek Plaz at left guard. Was there anything that was super surprising to you guys? Or did you feel like it, for the most part, it was pretty chalk as far as, I guess, who played where? I still don't know what the deal is with Bryson Washington. Like, did he play a good bit or did he not play a good bit?
Goller said in his presser, didn't he, that he played, that he had some good runs
with the ones. Yeah,
with
he
the
said
ones.
With the ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a whole like the whole like first
I'm not
part
talking to anybody who saw that. I'm not saying Golish is wrong, but like I didn't hear that from anybody else.
Yeah, the whole first part of the scrimmage, I don't even know that he was there could be a whole story around if he came in later and then went with the ones or whatever, or were the ones at the end like the true ones. I don't know. Hmm. All I know is Jeremiah Cobb had a really good day or a good day. Didn't hear much about Omar. Was there much talk about Omar, positive or negative? Just tough runs.
Some, but it was more about Alvin. Actually, they talked a little bit more about Alvin.
He did
than
get a lot
of Omar.
Dude, people really are pulling for him. There's a lot of people that are very invested in Alvin being successful at Auburn. And I get it. I was not shocked, but not a lot of talk about Chaz Nimrod. It felt like most of the wide receiver talk kind of circled around Jeremiah Koger having a solid day and then Keyshawn Singleton being a beast. I didn't see any note that really ever even mentioned Chaz Nimrod. I don't know that that's necessarily – if that's a important or interesting fact, but it is something.
Do you think – I mean, I know they ran 115 plays, according to the head coach, with the ones and twos, but do you think that's just a function of there's one football? Like, you can't – you know, how realistic is it to get enough carries – that all the running backs and all the receivers have a chance to truly stand out
every single game,
single scrimmage. I just think they're going to be, and that's, I think, can be a strength. If I put my, you know, dumb fan mode glasses on, that's one of the strengths of the offense, is there just so many multiple playmakers at receiver and running back.
Yeah. Let me say it a different way that might exactly end in the same result. What would you rather have? Would you rather have a new wide receiver being mentioned every single time, or the exact same one over and over and over again, and not having any depth being discussed?
Yeah,
no, that's a good That's a good point.
I don't know the answer.
I think I agree. I think I know where you're leading with this, and I think that I lean towards. I don't necessarily want to hear that it's a different guy every single time, but I'm okay if two of the other guys that are like in the starting lineup are popping off, you know, on one scrimmage, and then Wednesday scrimmage, who knows, Chaz could have a big scrimmage. And that may be more of a accurate representation of how the offense will go from week to week throughout the season as far as somebody being featured. I was just happy. Keyshawn's had, to me, maybe that everybody talks about a steady fall camp, but like just nothing super positive or negative. He's just kind of just been sort of even throughout fall camp. So him making some freakish plays was pretty cool.
I hadn't heard very much at all about Keyshawn, quite frankly, in fall camp until these scrimmage reports. So, you know, is that because they know what they have? And so they didn't need to.
I think he was in the doghouse a little bit personally, but
really? Okay. All
right. It makes sense. If that was the case,
he just had to put his head down and just go to work till the scrimmage. Maybe it changes now.
Good to see him make some plays. I want to get y'all's take on, I guess it's not even a take, how refreshing it is to hear that coming from a scrimmage, they literally tried to make it as hard as humanly possible on the offense. Having them take drives starting on the 1 yard line with, you know, manufactured sound being pumped in and doing everything that they could do to put them in strenuous situations. That's different. That's different than what we heard last year.
It reminds me of, I heard this story recently about the 1972 team, right? So 71 is Pat Sullivan, Heisman Trophy. 72, they changed the offense. Sullivan's gone, and they're going back to, I think, the I formation, and they're going to be more of a running team and a defensive team. Those practices were as hard as they could possibly be on the offense, starting with, like, taking guys into the boiler room at Beard Eves Coliseum, like the brand-new Beard Eves Memorial Coliseum at the time, in the boiler room and wrestling. And having these intense one-on-one, like, tough man battles, and telling the defense where the, like, lining up behind the offense on the 2 yard line, pointing to the direction that the ball was going, and telling the defense where they were going, and saying, guys, we're practicing until you score. Kind of get that same vibe. Make it so difficult, like, fail in August, so you succeed in September, October, and November.
Yeah, I don't think – I can't really find a negative. The only thing, the only negative I can come up with from that is, like, does it ever get so hard that, like, you can't get anything done? You know what I mean? Like, and I'm sure they're aware enough to be able to throttle that here or there. But, like, I love – it's just such a change in narrative. And mm-hmm. and it does. I have no idea if it equates to wins. I keep saying that. Like, I have no idea if this means Auburn's offense is going to be way better or whatever. All I know is it's different. It's the complete opposite of the way we were doing things last year, and I think that's a positive thing. I want to get y'all this maybe going just slightly negative a little bit. What do y'all think's up with the snap stuff? We saw that in the spring game, the snap issues. You know, that's been the talk, is like you got the continuity between Cole Best and Byron Brown and so on and so forth, and there was some really weird snaps in the spring game. And then I think some of the notes, and I think Golish may have even referenced some of this, was some snap issues in the scrimmage. What do you think that's all about? Just a bad day, or like, I don't know. I don't know. Is it just getting too juiced before a scrimmage? I don't know.
I don't know. I'll be totally transparent. I've not seen those notes. And so you obviously have. I'm not arguing that they're there. I don't know how many were, like, how often did it happen? How many are there? How bad is it? Those are all context questions. And are you telling me that if you're trying to go as fast as humanly possible, every now and then Byron's going to have to reach up or down or, you know, for a snap? Probably. If it leads to turnovers, then it's problematic. Otherwise, maybe it's the cost of doing business with the fastest offense in the country.
I haven't thought of it from that perspective, but that could be. I don't think it caused any turnovers. Like, I think there were some. I think wasn't there a bad snap turnover in the spring game? I feel like there was. There was something like that. I don't think the first team offense turned it over at all. But I don't know. I don't know if it's something.
Jake's agreeing with you in the chat. Hated the snap issues from A-Day. Inaccurate snaps throw off the whole timing of every single play. Yeah, they can.
They got to get. Yeah. They definitely got to get that dialed in before, obviously, game one. Yeah. Some. I know some people probably had some PTSD when they heard Golish talk about some pre-snap issues on a couple of drives. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong here, or if you disagree, but I just feel like that's something that they're just not going to allow. They're just not going to allow that to happen.
Yeah, I absolutely get that feeling. Yeah, I think there'll be accountability in the offensive line. I think you have depth now that you like. A guy may not lose his spot for the game, but I think he'll come out and think about it for a little while. Yeah.
I want to ask, like, okay, like, do the question that Zach always has, is it interesting or important? Okay, well, it happened in spring game, now it happened in the first scrimmage. Okay, I think it's leaning towards more of just being interesting. It may be a little bit more important because we're leaning towards getting closer to the games, but they have that experience together. I don't remember that being a big issue that we watching South Florida games last year. Like, I don't remember that being an issue. So maybe that's just the new environment. Maybe that's just because they're putting them at such a high standard in scrimmages, because it is definitely, that's the case, to where when they get into game time, it is not even remotely to that high of a level. So maybe it's they're getting stress test way too high, and then once they get the game time, it's not even remotely close. I don't know.
Maybe they're allowing the defensive linemen to talk, like to simulate snap counts. Maybe Cody Sigler is just an intimidating force. Maybe those guys in the interior of the defensive line breathing down his neck.
Well, that is true about Cody Sigler. So,
sure, he's an enforcer. Yes. In the middle of the defensive line.
I can't wait to see what he does this year. I think he's just going to – oh, man, he's going to be something else. He's going to be my favorite player, I think. Like, that's how much I like it.
I could see that. I think he's going to be a lot of people's favorite player. Can't excuse it. Can't say it's nothing. But the good thing is it's being called out in the press conference. So it's not like being they're not hiding from it. And they're not afraid to call it out. So that's what leads me to believe that little things like that just aren't going to be nagging. I would hope.
Yeah, because you address them right out in the open and right up front. And that's what is really, really refreshing about this head coach and the rest of the coaching staff, this veteran coaching staff with all kind of experience, you know, coordinating SEC defenses and positional time. And Cody Sigler, next Derek Brown.
Dude, he's on it.
Matthew Smith. I mean, look.
He's spent about $20 saying this. So,
guys, Derek Brown.
It's a big, that's a bit.
Derek, don't.
Big shoes.
Derek Brown. He's the best D lineman in the NFL right now.
He may be the best defender ever at Auburn. Like, there's an argument for that.
You can argue that. You can you can 100% argue Derek Brown versus Nick Fairley. You really could.
Yeah.
But
I'm all here for it.
Yeah, to finish the point.
I'll even take Derek Brown light, just saying, but continue. I think I will.
To finish the point, it's the middle of August. It's your first scrimmage.
Yeah.
Call out the stuff that needs to get – stuff isn't going to get fixed unless you name it. Right? Like, right. It's Sunday. I'll go biblical on everybody. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Name it, and then go fix it.
Well, I think that's where the sloppy thing came in. I think right? That's the point of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Progress isn't about progress isn't about never being sloppy. It's just about refusing to stay sloppy.
It's not a State of the Union address where the face of your program has to get up there and tell you everything that's wonderful and everything that's great. It's we had a first scrimmage. If there weren't problems, that might be a problem.
And there was a lot of positives, though. Like, it wasn't all sloppy. Right. I mean, it wasn't all bad. Like, and I think that's what people are misunderstanding because of, like, this one particular, a couple of clips of the presser.
It's because he led with it, and everybody else was, they swiped on by afterwards. They heard the first three words of Golish, and they said, oh, that's enough. I heard the entire press conference.
Right.
That's what happened.
Sloppy, not a veteran team, blah blah blah, that kind of thing. Yeah. And but if that's all you heard, you missed out on a lot of good stuff. I mentioned snaps that are a little wonky. Was there anything in particular that concerning is not the right word, but like, man, they gotta address this. Like, is there anything that you heard that you know piqued your interest? Like, man, they really got to get that taken care of.
Not really. I don't want to be redundant, but just my attitude about first scrimmages are, you know, you should. It's like taking your first test of the year or first time you ride a bicycle, first time you go to driving, you know, you practice driving. Like, you're just going to have stuff. It's the stuff that maybe after the second scrimmage is still an issue or after the first game or two is because that creeps into identity. Now that's not a mistake. That's all right. We do that. That's a problem. But yeah. No, not after the first scrimmage.
Christian, anything that stood out? I didn't hear a lot of drop passes. The only turnovers it felt like came from the second team. Tristan Tia threw two interceptions, one where the wide receiver fell down, and then I think the other one was just a really bad decision.
And Golish still felt okay with that. Still kind of like backed up Tia in the presser and said that he's basically solidified himself as the backup. So those turnovers obviously didn't affect him too much. He was making the right decisions and right reads according to Golish. So that gives you all the confidence in the world, at least right there. Having that solidified, I think, is a little bit more, is pretty important. You know, Byron Brown, as much as we are so excited for him, he's not the healthiest quarterback in the world. He's had injuries in the past. So having that solidified a couple weeks before week one is, it's not nothing to bat an eye. I think that's really something to pay attention to.
To that point, conspiracy theory question here. Do you think maybe Gavin Jenkins is really a first-team corner, but they put him with a second team, so Tia's got to go at him to put Tristan in adverse situations, make it as difficult as possible? And, let's see how he does when he's got a receiver. Matt, who maybe is not a first-team receiver, maybe he's a second-team receiver, matched up against a first-team defensive back.
Well, Tia balled out, apparently. Well, at least in the eyes of Golish, he had some interceptions. But, I mean, if he's sticking around next year, Gary Chapman had a good weekend, too. So
he had a good half, really, really good half.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one, Brad. I do wonder, though, because I wonder if Rayshon's just beating him out, though. Like, I don't know. I wonder if it's a conspiracy versus like the last two or three practices now, when they run the ones out there, Rayshon's gone out there, which has been kind of surprising to me. But going along with the theme of Golish and his mindset and like trying to, I guess, always be thinking way beyond just like this next play, that wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
Gavin Jenkins is a good player.
Golish doesn't seem like a guy that is going to just reward you for experience. He's going to reward you for performance and play. So if he's telling you that your potentially third cornerback is NFL caliber, that should tell you everything you need to know if the other two are making him be on the bench right now.
No doubt about it.
Sean, by the way, started two games last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's I don't think this it's this huge mountain for him to climb to be a starting corner in this defense. So
sure. Man, I had something good and I just completely lost it. I hate when that happens.
Was it the answer to our trivia question that we never asked? Rainbow Sherbert was the answer, by the way, to the trivia question we never asked.
Got it.
So if you had that in the chat, Rainbow Sherbert was the trivia question we never asked. That was the answer.
Did you guys, trumpet time from AU89.
We've been on there all day.
A little bit of this.
Ooh. Look at that. Got Barncast written all over it.
No, I remember what it was now. Brad, was the second scrimmage always going to be so quickly after the first one? Because the second scrimmage is on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's a good question. Probably. I'd be surprised if they deviate from, because they're so organized and
that's what I was wondering if like that maybe they felt like they needed another one really quickly to kind of clean things up. I can't remember what he said in the opening presser about how many they plan to have and when they plan to have them. I know they're going to have the alumni day at some point where they plan to have something similar to a scrimmage or something like that. I couldn't remember if there's another one mixed in, but that just seems really quick. You got one.
It does.
Friday, and then you turn around and you have one on Wednesday.
Because you're off. Are they off tomorrow or are they off today? Surely they're off tomorrow with first day of classes. They've been off on Mondays.
I don't think they're off tomorrow.
Are they not? Okay.
Let me look really quick.
All right. I just know tomorrow's first day of classes. So in the meantime, I'm going off script here. I'm introducing something y'all didn't know was coming. Did y'all see the cock talk? The cock talk.
Hudson.
Yeah.
No,
Hudson
I didn't.
Cock is all over TikTok, and you didn't see the one that he put up about fall camp?
Sir, you went biblical 15 minutes.
Is that the one where it was like a day in the life?
No, it's the most recent one.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, the most recent cock talk talks about how. What? Why are y'all laughing at this?
I mean, that's what it is. That's what that's the hashtag.
It's great. It's Hudson Cock's TikTok account.
Yeah.
It's a cock talk. So the latest cock talk. What is it? Y'all need to get a – would you please?
It's Christian, not me. I'm good.
Please.
I'm gonna have it's just how fast you say it.
I'm going to have you thrown out of here. I'm telling you. This is
the pronunciation of the K's, too, are just –
I need a cold glass of milk to cool me down, man. I'm steaming over here.
So he talked about the whole camp experience.
Yeah.
And how he was a little skeptical. He wasn't sure about – you know, 13 days and not sleeping in his own bed and just wondering how it was going to go. And then he goes on just to praise it for the next several minutes.
Yeah.
How great the experience was, how they're a completely different team. The staff, their vision, they're going to turn things around. Like it sounds to me like, and this is his, like he doesn't just go on there to, you know, give the company line. This is a personal TikTok account. I was really, I guess, positive. Like I was impressed and it got me pretty excited about what's to come. If anybody else on that team feels the way he does, this was a tremendous win by the staff to put together this camp experience.
I talked to a player's parent after the scrimmage and they were talking about the camp and what what their sons thought about it, and they're just like, man, it's kind of like what you always really think about when you think about old school football, when you think about like team. Yeah. Like, this is kind of what you always dreamed, not necessarily dreamed about, but it's what you want to be a part of, mm-hmm. when you play this game, and just how happy they've been with the whole experience, they being the sons. Mm-hmm. So really cool to hear that perspective. But I'm like you, I think he nailed it on the cock talk. I think it's been a huge hit with everybody.
Mm-hmm. You know, Eric Winters said something in one of his availabilities about it right as soon as they moved in. And he's like, I just want to be in my own bed. I was really skeptical about it, but he bought in really quickly as well. So I think that was maybe the growing narrative at the beginning, that they were very skeptical and like, why are we doing this? Why does this make sense? And then it quickly changed very fast when you were around everybody, the camaraderie, the culture was built. Their idea, their message was to try and streamline the standard. And it's hard not to think that didn't happen.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I think they all got their keys back on Saturday. So I'm sure that was sort of like a big deal too. I mean, there is an element of like, we're kind of free too. You know what I mean? Like the element of, all right, we've done this long enough. Let's go back to my own place. But
yeah,
I can't imagine the connections that were made.
You'll miss the spa though, I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah. All the foot rubs and the, the saunas and the
back to sleeping on their wood slats.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're mostly introverts. So they
vacation over.
Yeah.
No more water slides.
Back to the real world.
Yeah. Oh, man. We got a lot of mileage out of that, by the way.
Oh, sure did.
Yeah.
I put mild salsa in the background of my camera shot tonight just to reference.
That's
it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. We need a wide angle lens of that so we can mm-hmm. actually see it.
Yeah.
I don't have a ton else.
If you had to say two big questions, if you had one on each side of the football, to what you want to learn on Wednesday, like what is the glaring thing you want to see Wednesday on each side of the football?
So I'll go first. I feel like there was some offensive line mishaps and then maybe just certain individuals that need to have some things cleaned up. I want to hear a little bit better, I guess, return coming out of the offensive line. Although I think they did some good things and clearly created some big plays. Just keep working that offensive line. Just keep getting better. Clean up the pre-snap penalties, clean up the snap stuff. Like that's kind of the big thing. I want to hear them rave over the offensive line had the best day they've had all camp, like that kind of thing. Best day since we've been here. That's the kind of stuff I want to hear.
That's so funny. I'd like to hear the exact opposite.
Really?
I would. I would like to hear that Dallas Walker and Sigler and Jared Smith and all those guys, the first team defensive line is a problem, and that they were bearing down on that offensive line all day long.
Vontrell said that Jordan Crawford and Malik Autry are two players he's really looking for. He said, use the word consistency. Mm-hmm. So I'll be on your side, Brad, with that one. And those are the two players I'd spotlight.
I just have no concern over the defense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if the offense scored 1,000 points, I would have no concern. I just don't have any concerns over the defense. That's why I guess I'm always leaning towards wanting to hear good news coming from the offensive side. But is that crazy to have that mindset? No,
the offense has been terrible the last 5 years, so it's hard to disagree with you, bud.
Yeah. But I think, and I'm probably overthinking this, this is probably like too many circles in my circular thinking. But I kind of, in order to continue to have no worries about the defensive line, would like to see them go and dominate, to go do it. Because I think the offense is going to score. I think the scheme and the personnel on offense, they're going to get points. So when they face somebody else, I'm not where I want Auburn's defensive line to have some dominant days so that I continue to be confident about them having dominant days against other teams.
I like it. Christian, you didn't answer. You didn't answer your own question.
I agreed with Brad on the defensive side, so I'll steal that one for defensive. But on the offensive side, I don't want to agree with you exactly, but I would say the offensive line is one that I'd focus on. But let's play different. Let's go different here. How about a more clear cut? And I kind of started off the show with this. How about a more clear cut on who's going to be that high tempo receiver? Is it going to be Spencer, or is it going to be Neptune getting more of those receptions? Because I think that's a fascinating battle.
And man, it's like win-win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what it is. It's great. Right.
It could be a 1A, 1B, depending on the drive. And I wouldn't mind that whatsoever, yeah. But I wouldn't mind hearing an answer from Golish about it. Or maybe just an explanation, not an answer. Like I hope somebody at the availability after the scrimmage on Wednesday asks him about that.
I dig it. I dig it. Guys, make sure that you are subscribed to the channel. Make sure you subscribe to the premium channel. You get coffee and cornbread every single daggum day with Christian. You do a fantastic job of that. You get the Village Vice post show. You get afternoon delight every single day. Man, and I know we run out of commits. Like, we're going to get some commits soon, and then we're going to have some football games soon, and we'll have some more film breakdowns that you can enjoy too as well with T-Dub. But guys, I really appreciate y'all joining us, all in the chat, everybody participating. Brad, thank you for being here. Christian, thank you for being here. We're going to get out of here. A lot of stuff. Got a scrimmage on Wednesday. Class starts tomorrow. Like, it's getting closer. It's getting closer. It's creeping up on us very, very quickly. Y'all take care. We'll talk again soon.